pretty strongly against this. This National Cotton Council, Federal Farm Bureau, is really proposing some large producers to come up in and lobby against compensatory payments. I think the bill in the last year has come around to this. I've talked with a lot of these bill folks, and they seem to like it all right. I don't see who could be against it, because the farmer would get what he's getting now. I'd say, as Ted said, probably 95% of them, because it's amazing out of 762,000 cotton farmers in the United States, 615,000 of these have less than 30 acres. And there's only 9,000 that have over 200 acres. So you see, those 9,000 are the ones that are coming to Washington and lobbying against compensatory payments because they are afraid of a limitation that would be put on these. Now, if you put a limitation of $12,500 on payments, there would only be approximately 9,000 farmers in the United States that wouldn't be fully covered, you see, under this limitation there. So out of 762,000 farmers, 753,000 of them would get back.
And I would say that it obviously help to protect that mill.
It would, because they'd be getting cotton at world price.
And it would help the textile workers. Would it help these other farmers? It would help the what?
The exporters.
Because they get...
They wouldn't have to take subsidy.
From the point of view of the textile mills, it's better than getting the equalization fee, because it means that their cost of the finished textile is less, and therefore they can compete better with other fibers, such as man-made fibers. As it is now, they're being priced out of the market by these.
So even if they cost with equalization, they would just deal with their farm problem, not with their man-made competition.
Yes, sir, that's right. Just their import.
Bringing the latter deep to present says this door payment system would provide a more sound and realistic solution out of that logical. But in my judgment, that sharp political opposition makes it impossible. Every time I talked about the challenge twice the last 48 hours, I talked again last week.
that the recommendations are adverse, then there's nothing on which you act, and that you fix such relief as is required by the findings and report, I believe it is, of the Tariff Commission. I'll give Ted a memorandum on this, but all I can say is...
You take a look at that, you've got to...
Are you talking now about the national security laws?
No.
We're talking about the Tariff Commission.
Well, negative.
I understand that, but
what the textile people say is, if you can't do it from that...
Well, then you'll go through
the national security.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Oh, I see. No, I was all I was saying was that...
But I don't know whether you have like possible grounds of national security. You could use the equalization fee. I can see where you...
Well, the textiles are essential to national security.
Yeah, but the equalization fee, I don't know how you can prove that.
That's just a straight up now tariff.
I recommend it yesterday. The reason that you're associated with the new that you said this in two, that we put on a four and a half. Trade incentive through the tolls. All things the trade incentive would be easy.
What's a trade incentive?
Well, that's simply fixing so that the shipper would turn in his documents and you pay him for the right.
Yes, but it does not complicate things with the president. It's the merchant, the man who buys the cotton from the farmer and who sells it to the mills.
Right.
He would get the compensatory payment and then pass it on to the mills.
Just like the export.
That's right.
That's the third set of subsidies.
That's right.
Well, we got ourselves into this. This thing isn't, we don't want to let the textile push us to getting a commitment from us on this equalization fee, because we've never gone for that. And as this description of George and Paul's memorandum, the effect of it, we might well not almost have the bill. Is that a fair statement or not?
But it would create a kind of open a Pandora's box for us. We'd be in enormous trouble. We'd have to take compensation. Yes. Matter of fact, this was something I got over to President Warner before he saw us in the shirt.
Not equalization.
This was just an attempt to put this stuff down in the crate.
Now, what is it we got at what can we stand on?
Well, I think, Mr. President, that the language of your pledge number 4 in the 7-point program is sufficiently broad that you are not on the hook.
No, I've never been on the hook on equalization. They're trying to ride it into it. And now let's just assume the Tariff Commission comes out negatively. Where are we going to be about the 1st of September?
I think you can make the pledge that if they come out negatively, you might even want to make that ahead of time, that you intend to go back to the Department of Agriculture to carry out this recommendation, to find some means that will submit legislation to create this situation, will submit legislation to correct it.
We don't want to suggest what those alternatives might be.
No, because I think probably the Department of Agriculture.
I think they're going to have to just stick with it. I think we're going to have to agree and just say, I can't. If the Tariff Commission, just say, first is before the Tariff Commission. If the Tariff Commission acts negatively on the matter, then we are going to come up with some other means, or a means of providing. This is all I can give you now. You just have to take your chances on it. If you go ahead and gut the bill. Let's see now, if you go ahead and gut the bill on this ground, what is it, what sanction can we use against them?
Their sanction is that they won't get even their long-term agreement.
They won't get the long-term agreement, which would be what? Then that
well, they have no protection then against imports. Excellent.
You think it would be foreign imports? Why? Because they could pay the...
Well, the tariff has never been an innovation. Of course, no protection.
So instead of it getting the 6% limitation, they'll have to get up to 10%. If they try to put it in the bill, it'll veto the bill. So they won't have any trade bill. We won't have any trade bill. We'll be just well off.
That's a strong point. Sanctions that are available, there's no question about it.
We haven't discussed those at all.
No, I mean, we've gone a long way to help the industry, and there comes a time when you have to say, well, we've really got to get something out of you. And you can't squeeze us to the last drop here, because we've given you so much, we can also take it back. The United States hasn't signed the long-term agreement yet.
Then what would happen? Then all right, they say, all right, you can do that, we'll defeat the bill.
The point is, they might as well defeat the bill if we're going to have...
That's the attitude we ought to take with them.
The equalization fee, which is all of your...
If you get the equalization fee,
that doesn't at all meet their problems as far as...
the only thing is, that they can't, unless they get it out of tariff region, they can't get it out of us. Because if we say, no, we won't give it, they're only threading on us to defeat the bill. They defeat the bill, they defeat the long-term agreement, and they've got it. Now, they can say, well, we'll screw you in 2 years or something. But the point is, I think the difficulty is, which we really talk to them without any recognition that this is not completely a one-way street. There isn't really much they can do to us, because we can survive another year without this bill. If they want to defeat
it. The only thing they can do is right now defeat
the bill. That's all they can do to us. Now, they defeat the bill. All right, the bill's defeated, but we might as well have the bill defeated. Or as we are to have put in something that's either going to cost us $200 or $300 million. They want to get me, though, the price of their supporting the bill to put in an equalization fee. And I'm afraid once we write that into the statute, how much would cost us an equalization? Number one, how much would cost us budgetary-wise? Number two, what would it cost us? What will it do with the long-term agreement? And what will it do here and there? That's the problem, isn't it?
And in compensatory payments, we'd have to make concessions on other products because these things are bound with the gap. It would mean that we would use up a great deal of the authority we get under the bill for no quid pro quo.
Except the protection of the textiles.
If you put on the equalization fee, you'd have to
pay compensation of something over $200 million of fee trade. Larry, that they're prepared to say that we'll take that 8.5 cents. know that if the long-term agreement were defeated, then they would try to press for mandatory quotas.
They just want to my point is, if the president goes through a fight like this and they do anything, I don't know the rest of Congress is in protection. Although coming in later, a year or 2 years from now, to try to get...
Well, not if we kept the quota, not if we kept the import to 6%.
Well, I would assume that if what George says, they don't sign the agreement,
no,
then we won't have the 6%. They'll go out of it.
Fabrics, because there you've got a big labor component and a lot of other costs. been any commitment to 15%. The commitment was we intend to implement this policy with regard to all textiles, and particularly to prevent market disruption, such as would result from an increase over current levels of imports. Now, if you seasonally adjust those current levels of imports, which is what you've done in your figures to arrive at an estimate for this year, then there never was a commitment to 15%. 15% was the figure which did not take into account the seasonal adjustment.
No, it did take that into account because you have a full year in arriving at that 15%.
Well, you were taking the 15 year anyway. What? one small thing, which is already made.
Virgin Islands?
It's this Virgin Islands thing.
Well, we're going to offer an amendment, are we?
That's not included in there. These figures assume that we will be able to stop it.
Okay, then.
Whatever the figure, 16, 17, it's going to take a little, but it's going to take some trading with it, which we can do. The question is, you've got to take a position. How are we going to hold it to any of these figures, 16, 17, whatever?
Is there any means by which it can be held?
There's one point that should be brought out, and that is, we don't know yet that it is going significantly above 15 or 60. This is a projection.
Well, we've got a projection of a pretty detailed group, plus the projection of an industry which we checked independently.
Yes, sir. Well, I have a suggestion in a memorandum there about the way to get them to approach this thing rationally. Again, I've just given a copy to Ted.
I just gave it to the president.
The rule of roll prices.
Yeah.
And that's more controversial. I would say that's a cost of the cotton, which...
Well, exactly. The fence to war has already been established.
I agree, yeah. I'd like to have agriculture take a literature memorandum. I think that makes a lot of sense.
I think it'd be an...
I wouldn't make that
trouble if you started trying to make up million special wool papers.
They can't do that. No, they already have special wool papers. They already have special wool papers.
$60 million last year.
Was the senator from Massachusetts? No sponsors.
Well, I should
not a bad deal. Program now. Solve a lot of our foreign relations problems. Congratulations.
Now, let's see about what obvious. What is it? Let's say it's 15, let's say it's 17%, whatever the figure is, by what means can we? Or can we give any commitment on this?
Well, I would say this, Mr. President, that after the long-term cost agreement is signed, which will be sometime in October, we can start talking with the British and Italians. The British have always said that they would never make a deal, and they only entered the long-term agreement on the assumption that we wouldn't extend it to other fibers. But the fact is that the British have some motive for being interested in a possible deal because they're losing the market. They've had a long-term market here, which they're gradually being forced out of by the Italians and the Japanese, so we might be able to get some support from the British for stabilizing. Now, the Italian problem is a different problem because they brought in a lot of new machinery and a whole new milling complex in Prato in Italy. We'd have some trouble, but probably do something with them, the Japanese. We spend most of our time trying to put the screws on them for one thing or another, and I suppose we could do it again.
Mr. President, I saw George Ball single-handed, and they do one of the most beautiful jobs of negotiation. I can imagine if this context of agreement in Geneva is infinitely more complex than what we're talking about here. I'm perfectly convinced that he can do this simple little...
Well, now tell me, what is it we can say to these fellows, or what do we need to say to them?
I think the most you can say, and the least you can say, perhaps, is that you will find the ways and means to do this thing once the cotton textile agreement is signed, to get it down to, I hate to see a commitment to 15%, but to a level of 15 or 16. I think you ought to have some leeway.
Can you get beyond, Larry, can we get beyond the October date in dealing with this thing? To give them any kind of answer?
Oh, no, they're quite happy at the moment. And I think, as just mentioned, you stated current figures, supposedly, and trying to keep someone...
We can say current figures, and then if they start to argue about it.